Well, I hope that you have been blessed and encouraged so far as we've been making our way through the book of Psalms together. You know, God's word is filled with such a variety of types of writings, you know, poetry, history, testimonies, song, and all of it points to one person, and that's God. It's to Jesus Christ, the truth of who he is, and not only who he is, but who we are as his creation, as ones who are made in the image of God. He has a purpose for each one of us, and especially for those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus. There's far more that God wants for us than to just live a good life on this earth, even more than just to be kind to others. He wants us to glorify him in all that we do. And all of it, from Genesis to Revelation, it shows us ways in which we can grow deeper in our understanding of who God is. It takes us deeper into our walk, our relationship with him. And we're going to continue to look at the Psalms together. Today, we're looking at another Psalm of David in Psalm 13. And this is a Psalm of individual lament. So remember, the Psalms were sung together in corporate worship. And so as we see this individual lament of David, the community can kind of, you know, understand what he's going through, join in with him on what is happening there. And so David shares his feelings very transparently. And what he does is he doesn't stray, or he doesn't try to go away from the Lord in the midst of intense negative feeling, but rather he shares transparently his feelings with God. And so as we make our way through this psalm, God wants for us to see also how we might face our own feelings, whatever they might be, with God and the faith that he gives to us. So today's message is titled Facing Our Feelings with Faith. And we're going to look at Psalm 13 together. So let's get into the Word of God together. Psalm 13. To the choir master, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I've trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Let's one more time. Dear God, we thank you that this is your word. Through your Holy Spirit, you have inspired this word, all of it from Genesis to Revelation, inerrant, without error. Your word for us as your people. God, as we look at this psalm together, would you invite us? Would you open up our hearts? Would you open up our minds so that this would not just be, you know, just a sermon that we are listening to, but that truly your word would go deep and it would cause change in our hearts and in our lives. Only you can do that. So we pray for that today. Be with me as I speak your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're talking about facing our feelings with faith. And the first thing that we have to do when we face our feelings with faith is to acknowledge our feelings. That's the first point that we're going to talk about. And we're just going to jump right in. We have to acknowledge your feelings before God. And that's what we see David doing at the beginning of this song. He says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel of my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Now, there are two aspects of acknowledging your feelings before God that we see as we look at these first couple of verses. First, David clearly shows his emotional feelings, right? He says he has sorrow in his heart all the day. There's extreme sadness, sorrow that's going on in his life, a continual sadness, something that is ongoing, right? He says, will you forget me forever? Second is this, that David acknowledges another feeling, but this other feeling is not necessarily an emotional feeling, like he's feeling sadness or frustration or anger or something like that, but rather he expresses a feeling that has to do with his relationship with God, where he admits that he feels very distant from God. And I don't know about you guys, but you know, have you ever had times, even in your walk with the Lord, where God felt distant from you? Well, that's what David is talking about. He's saying, my perceived reality, how I feel right now, it makes me feel that God is truly distant. And the connectedness of these two feelings is this. When we look at the last question, right? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? So you see, there's this connection that the two feelings, one, the emotional feeling of sorrow, continual sorrow that he's feeling, and also the feeling that he has that God is distant, those things are directly affected by the circumstances and the difficulty of life that he is going through and what he sees happening around him, the enemy being exalted over him. That's how he feels. And so we see that life circumstances, especially when it looks like the enemy is winning, that can have a direct effect on our emotion, but also how we feel within our relationship with God. But we're going to start first by acknowledging the emotional feelings before God. Okay. Now, Caleb is 3 years old now. He's almost four, actually, in February. And one of the things that we've been helping, you know, to work on with him is how to work through his feelings. Now, I know there's some manly men in our church, and we don't even want to hear the word feelings. Come on, you know, that's, you don't want to talk about feelings. But it's one important aspect within relationships that we have to learn to understand and acknowledge before God if we're going to grow in our walk of faith. So one of the things with Caleb that we've been trying to do is try to have him identify and acknowledge his own feelings, to be able to verbalize what he is feeling when he feels it. So whether it's sadness, sorrow, frustration, anger, fear, or whatever it may be, we help him to identify the emotion and then encourage him to use his words to let myself and my wife know exactly what's going on in his heart. And so how is this helpful? Well, you know, I started thinking about that. Well, I remember one, time actually pretty recently when our friends had come over for a visit, and they had brought some bubble tea, for me and my wife and for themselves. And so we sat down around the table, and then, we just kind of started chatting and talking about things. And we looked over and there was Caleb. But he didn't look like he was happy. You know, actually, he looked kind of down and he looked kind of sad and, almost on the verge of tears. And we weren't sure exactly why at the time, but we encouraged him to acknowledge his feelings, what he was feeling, not to just kind of take it in and push it in and just deal with it, but to actually acknowledge them, his feelings, emotions with us. And finally, he used his words and he said, I'm sad, you know, in his kind of, you know, soft voice, I'm sad. And, you know, we said, well, what's wrong? You know, why are you sad? You know, we want to help him identify what's causing the sadness, not only just identifying the emotion, but deeper, what's the cause of it? What's causing you to feel that way? And finally, in his little voice, you know, he said, I want a bubble tea too. Yeah, right. And you see, our friends had brought bubble tea for themselves and for, you know, the adults, but there was nothing for him. And so we didn't, you know, tell him, hey, come on, that's why you're sad? Come on, man, toughen up. You know, we didn't say that. We didn't say, stop crying, you know, stop being sad. You know, I've heard that actually many times, you know, when a kid starts crying, it's usually dad that says, stop crying, why are you crying? You know, like that kind of is the way that we go at times, but we have to allow people, and especially our young children, to acknowledge their feelings. And so when he was able to acknowledge his feelings and share his feelings with us, we were able to comfort him as best as we could. It helped him communicate to us and know that we care for him. And yes, he also got to try some bubble tea, right? We shared the bubble tea that we had with him. So why is it important to acknowledge your feelings to the Lord? I mean, he already knows everything, right? He already knows what's in your heart. He already knows what's going on in your mind. So why do we have to acknowledge our feelings before God? Why is that important? You see, again, it's not because we have to. It's not some kind of law that says you must acknowledge your feelings before God. No, but because God has a relationship with us, he wants us to be in relationship with him. When we are going through and experiencing emotions, when we learn to acknowledge them before God, we actually grow deeper in our understanding, not only of the things that drive us and affect us, but about God and his comfort and his love for us. Now, there may be many reasons, and people have shared with me over the years that I've been in ministry, and even before then, reasons why they don't like to acknowledge their feelings. Maybe when they were younger, their parents didn't really stand for it. They didn't care about your feelings, just obey, right? And maybe some of the younger ones is like, oh, that kind of sounds like, you know, my mom and dad, but that's not the point here, right? But there's many reasons why people don't like to acknowledge their feelings just in general. There may be times of when they grew up, things that they learned, things that affected them. It could be that they want to uphold a certain image in front of others, so they can't show, you know, something that would, you know, acknowledge negative feelings in life. I have to be the happy one. I have to be the one that has it all together. And so acknowledging negative feelings like sadness, frustration, or anger, that might not look well to others. I think some people have a sense of pride about, you know, I'm strong, so I don't really experience these deep, dark, negative feelings in life. And there's kind of a pride in that, because when you don't acknowledge your feelings and you think that you are strong enough to handle them on your own, you just push things deeper and deeper down, only to have them blow up or be expressed in oftentimes unhealthy ways in your life, in relationship. See, there's so many things that keep us from acknowledging our emotions, our feelings. But God wants us to acknowledge our emotions before him. He doesn't look at us and say, you're so weak. What's wrong with you? Toughen up. Why are you sad? Don't you know I died for you? Don't you know I'm good? That's not how God operates. He wants for us, he invites us to acknowledge our emotion, our feeling with him. And so David says it plainly. He's filled with great sorrow and sadness. You see, there's no need to hide our negative emotions before God. We should acknowledge them before him. So David, what he's showing us is that an integral part of our faith is not just obedience. I know the word. I know what to do. I know the right things. But it's actually being in relationship. Your emotions, an integral part of our relationship with God, being honest with him, acknowledging them before him. He doesn't want us to wait until we're done crying, until we're done being angry. He wants us to acknowledge them when we're going through them, bring it before God, acknowledge your feelings before him, and grow in your understanding of who he is as you feel his acceptance, his comfort, his peace, and yes, even his correction. Second feeling is this, right? So the first feeling that we talked about is kind of this emotion of feeling. Now we're going to look at the second feeling that has to do with his relationship with God, where he says he feels distant in his relationship with God. He's calling out to God, but he doesn't feel like God is listening. He doesn't feel like God is answering him. He's crying out. He looks around. He says he feels like the enemy is winning. And so there's this kind of idea, right, where if someone is feeling an emotion, then you can affirm that emotion and say, okay, this is what you're feeling. But when we have this kind of feeling that affects our relationship with God, where it kind of alters your perspective or your reality, That's what this kind of feeling does, right? And what I mean by that is there is a reality, there is a truth that God loves us. He's always with us and he is always for us. So if there's a feeling that compels us deep within our hearts to feel that those things are not true, then we are kind of going through a negative perceived reality. We're allowing that feeling to kind of dictate actually what is, instead of looking to what the Word of God tells us, what God reveals about himself, about what truly is. So there's a perceived reality that comes from this kind of feeling. And I think acknowledging this feeling before God gives us an opportunity to take that perceived reality about God in our walk with him, and then he meets us with the reality, the true reality of who he is and his character and his love for us. And, you know, haven't you been there before where some kind of feeling about your relationship to others, it affects how you see them, it affects how you act around them? You know, just think about it. When you interact with different people, perhaps there's someone that you feel doesn't really like you, right? You had a bad interaction with them, so you feel like, oh, they don't really like me. And so the next time that you go to hang out and that person is there, you're going to view everything that they're doing from how you feel. Oh, that person, he doesn't like me, so I'm going to stay away from that person. I'm not going to bother with that person. Or perhaps even when that person is doing a kindness towards you, in your perceived reality, because you feel your relationship with him is no good, then you say, oh, he's just doing that because he feels like he has to, right? You start questioning a lot of different things when you have this kind of feeling that within relationships, something has been altered. But God wants us to acknowledge these feelings before him so that his truth can speak into us. You see, these types of feelings, especially the feelings that take us away from the truth of God, that make us question his character, when that happens, we have to learn to dig deeper into our hearts and say, why? What is it that is making me feel this way? What is causing me to question the reality of God? What is causing this feeling to come up in my heart and in my mind? And so these are some questions to ask. What is going on in my life? What was going on in my life when I felt this way about God? When I felt that God was distant, or that he didn't love me, or that he didn't care for me, or you know, that he wasn't answering my prayers. Secondly, when are times when I most felt like God's promises weren't true? What happened in life that made you question his promises for you? Another question, when are times when you feel like disobeying God's laws, where there's some kind of disconnect, where you start compromising and going the other way from God's law? Because those things are all connected. Something about your feeling in your relationship with God has changed so that you start seeing his laws apart from your relationship with him, which enables you to compromise more. So we got to look deeper. We got to turn our hearts toward repentance and acknowledge God. Acknowledge our feelings before him. So second thing is this. So we acknowledge our feelings before God. Second thing is present your feelings before God. Ultimately, this is another way to say, go to God in prayer. Present your feelings before God. So verses 3-4 says this, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy says I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. So this is an extension of acknowledging our feelings before God. Now we should openly and vulnerably present our feelings before God. Now I'm going to touch on an aspect of when we present our feelings before God, the type of attitude that we ought to have as we go to him, and it's one of humility. So no matter how we're feeling, anger, frustration, whatever it might be, distance from him, we choose to go towards him. That's the important part. Too often, we don't want to present our feelings before God. In fact, the very feelings that we're feeling, we might blame God for those feelings that we have. So, you know, we don't want to go to God with these negative feelings, but we have to learn to humble ourselves and bring them before God, because again, God cares for us. Now, he doesn't need us He doesn't need to hear our complaints or our hardships or the things that we're going through. He doesn't need to hear about our sadness and about our bad days and all these different things going on in our lives. Remember last week, who am I that God cares about me? Remember that? And yet he does. He doesn't need to hear about it, but he wants to hear about it. So learn to present your feelings and everything that you're going through, negative and all, before God. For some reason, God wants us to tell him about our days. He wants us to go to him with our feelings and our prayer requests. So here we see David go, and look what he says. He says, light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. I mean, there is something going on in his heart that he's literally saying, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Now, some scholars think that he's actually in physical illness, and he feels like he's actually going to die because physically he can't open up his eyes. But there's so many ways that this can apply to us as believers. I mean, have you ever felt like that, where you were going through something so painful and difficult, you at least thought to yourself, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I could keep doing this. I don't know if I can make it through. So how did you react? Some people stay in that. And they just think on that. Oh, my goodness. They stay in their feelings, and they never get out. Just sorrow. And then I think about it more, and I feel more sorrow, anger, and then I feel more anger, and then, you know, it's just frustration, and then I feel more frustration. Present your feelings before God in humility. Don't stay in your negative feelings and emotions, or bring them before God. Bring them to him. And the amazing thing about, you know, David, I mean, it's not that amazing because David's just another guy like you or me. But his heart, even when he was going through these times where he literally said, God, I feel like I'm dying. I don't know if I'm going to make it another day. And yet he goes to God with that. He says, God, my hope is in you, actually. You see, there's this humility that says, I'm going through all this. I don't feel like he's with me, but I'm going to go to him. Because I know there's this truth about who he is. I've seen his faithfulness in my life. And, you know, the thing about humility of David is this. He doesn't just care about his own life. We see that he's concerned with the glory of God as well. He doesn't want the enemy thinking, or, you know, that God is not, you know, good and powerful. He doesn't want the enemy thinking that they won. He doesn't want the enemy mocking God. And we know God will not be mocked. But that's also his concern. Not only do I feel sorrow about what's going on around me, but I care, God, about your glory, about your name. And I can't stand it that the enemy thinks that they are winning. You know, we may not think about it this way, but every single time that we have strong feelings, especially the negative ones, we have an opportunity to either grow deeper in our faith or to go apart from God in our faith. Now, he will always love us. If we're believers, he will never let us go. We're in his love forever, whether you like it or not. But when we go through difficult times, and especially those deep, dark emotions, the negative emotions that we have in life, we have an opportunity to either go to God or to go somewhere else. Those are the only options. The enemy wants us to be away from God. The enemy doesn't want us to go to God or present our feelings before God. The enemy wants us to stay in our feelings and maybe look to the world for some kind of release, whether it's some kind of addiction to the world, whether it's measuring yourself compared to other people. You know, that's why some people say they like reality TV. You know, they say, well, my life kind of, you know, it's bad at times, but it's not that bad. You know, we start looking for ways to make ourselves feel better, right? That's what we're trying to remedy. I don't want to feel like this anymore. So either change the circumstances or change, you know, like your perspective by lowering other people and lifting yourself up. And God says, that's not how I want you to work. That's not how I want you to live. Present your feelings to me and I will listen. That's what God is telling us. And so David, he doesn't go away from God. He goes towards God. And I want to ask you, have you been going towards God? Have you been presenting your feelings and your situations and your circumstances to God? He's waiting. That's what he wants us to do. And he's going to show us his truth. And that's what we're going to talk about in the final point. Trust facts over feelings. Trust facts over feelings. That's the third point. And looking at verses 5-6. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Okay, the slide is up? Okay. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So trust facts over feelings. Now, this point is actually very simple. Our feelings in life can be very strong. And when we feel something so strongly, so passionately, it sometimes becomes such a reality that we almost think what we feel is the truth. And that was this perceived reality that I was talking about. When your emotions, convictions can be feel so strong that your emotions kind of control and lead you one way or the other. Now, I'm not against feelings. You know, I'm a big feeler, right? Like where if I feel something, there's this kind of natural draw to go with it. Because if you feel that strongly about something, surely it must not be a bad thing. But God tells us, reminds us that actually be careful because your heart is very deceiving. Sometimes you might feel very strongly about something and you might be completely off base in terms of judging it according to what the Word of God teaches. So even for David, we see that everything that he's feeling, the enemy is winning, he's over me, you know, God is distant. All these feelings are very real to him. That's kind of his perceived reality. But we see the shift as he goes to God in prayer. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about the facts, the truth of God. So even though he feels so strong, even though he feels like this is actually what reality is, he goes to the Word, he goes to his God, our God, and he's reminded of the facts, the truth of God, who he has revealed himself to be time and time again over the course of the history, not only of his life, but of the world, of his people. So in the midst of deep feelings of sorrow and hopefulness, he speaks the facts, the truth of the promises of God. Now, here's the thing I want to say. You see, God does not meet David and then pound him down and say, hey, don't you remember these facts? I think sometimes that's how we try to address things even for ourselves. Man, why am I feeling so down? Don't I know that God loves me? Or maybe someone comes to us with a very difficult situation in life and you just say, well, don't you just trust God? And we almost use the Word of God as a weapon to push someone further into sadness or frustration or anger, rather than the Word of God as a gracious tool to uplift. You see, that's what God's grace does. It uplifts us. So if you use the Word of God and someone is feeling even more down, just probably take a step back and say, okay, what am I doing here? You see, facts over feelings, that can be a very harsh thing to say. If someone is having deep feelings of sorrow, you don't say, hey, facts over feelings. That's not how you encourage people. That's not how you help people. God does not do that either. You see, God this whole time, what is he? He's listening. As David is praying through this, as he's going through this, now as he is acknowledging God, even in the midst of his sorrow and hopelessness, God is receiving him, and he is continuing to show David his steadfast love. You see, that's what he's talking about. He remembers that God's love is steadfast, that it never fails, it never ends. If that's true, God, even though my feelings are telling me that you're distant, even though I'm in deep sadness, the fact of the matter is you are with me and your love is for me and it is continual. It is steadfast. So he chooses to rejoice. Just think about that. You have the choice. Anytime you go through difficult situations or have negative feelings in your heart, you have the choice still to praise God and speak truth and allow that truth to sink into your heart. It's not always easy. But God has dealt bountifully with us. Look what David says. But you have dealt bountifully with me. Think about this. He was a shepherd boy, and then he was anointed king. And there was a lot of time before he, you know, before he actually became king. After he was anointed, he's thinking about God's goodness and his steadfast love in his life. And he's saying, you know what? You have dealt bountifully with me. And I'm going to remember these facts. I'm going to remember this truth. I'm going to remember your faithfulness. And even for us, let's think about it. Maybe you're going through something difficult in your life right now. And maybe you haven't really acknowledged your feelings. Maybe you haven't acknowledged your feelings before God, or even presented your feelings before God, the situation you're going through before God. But go to him. Remember the facts of God, the truth of God. And remember, especially this word bountifully means an overflow, an abundance that for us, we know it even deeper than what David is writing in the psalm. Through Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. My goodness, how bountifully his grace has overflown into our lives. Remember, he's the God of our salvation, the only one who can give us the victory, and he has given us the victory in life over sin, over death. And so no matter what we may face in this life, bring it all to God. Face your feelings with faith in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, one of my favorites. That God is always working for the good of those who love him, for the good of his people. And that doesn't mean when you're doing well, he's working for your good. Only when you're happy, God's working for you. No, no, no. In the midst of your deepest, darkest moments, God is still working for your good through that. All the ups and the lowest valleys, God is working for your good. Will you choose to praise God? Will you choose to see the facts, the truth? Any negative feelings, feelings of distance from God, go to God, present your feelings, acknowledge your feelings, and then acknowledge the fact of who God is, and may that encourage you again and again. May that encourage you and fill you with renewed purpose, re-energizing you to remember who Christ is in your life. God is good. So good. Do we believe that in the face of difficulty, the most excruciating times of our lives, that God is still good? We can choose to remember God, choose to believe in the truth over our feelings. It doesn't mean that the emotions just go away, but there's a peace that he gives. There's the reality of his truth that abounds deeply in those who trust in him. So acknowledge and identify your feelings before God. Present them to God and receive his peace. Go to him in prayer and trust in facts over feelings. God's truth, who he has revealed himself to be. And so allow him, God, our faith to be what is our anchor, but also our rudder that helps us to be directed one way or the other in the way that we live. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your love. Help us, we pray, to face our feelings with faith in you. It always goes back to who you are and who we are in your hands, in your love, in your goodness. Help us to trust in you with all things. May circumstances of our lives not dictate who we see you to be. May the feelings we feel not be what dictates who we know you to be. Help us to look into your word and also just see who you are and your faithfulness so that we can continue to grow in our walk with you. Lord, thank you for loving us and caring about our feelings. It almost sounds absurd that the God of the universe would care about any of our individual sorrows, but you care about everything. You care about it 100%, and you want to remind us of your steadfast love and how bountifully you have dealt with us through Christ Jesus as he died on the cross for our sins and rose again. And we share in that victory. We share in that truth. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We will now go into a time of worship through praise as we sing a song of response.